Together on a Wednesday night to focus on prayer before you as a congregation. We thank you that even before we have prayer, we are prepping our hearts and minds with your word so that they might be in the right mindset to come before you and your throne of grace. Lord, I just pray that for all of us, that our speech and our lips would be honoring to you, that we'd be wise in what we say. I pray that tonight I would speak what is true out of your word and not my own opinion. Let your word speak most loudly. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Well, one of the reasons I chose hymn 492 is because in the middle of it, in verse 3, it says, "Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King." It says, "Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee." And I thought that was very appropriate for tonight. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Verses 18 through 21. 18 through 21. And I'm calling this Lessons on Loosing Your Lips. Yes, that is an alliteration. And we're going to be talking about a lot about speech tonight and what Proverbs has to say about that, specifically in these verses. Just several wisdom principles regarding your words and your speech, and also how your speech connects with your heart. Before we do that, I do want to cover a little bit of the background. So, in the past many months, been going through Proverbs, and it's been flowing kind of nicely. Last week, Daniel covered Lady Folly, and end of chapter 9, and his those verses in chapter 9, end of chapter 9, Lady Folly, kind of conclude a major section of Proverbs. Proverbs has, you could argue this, but it has roughly three main sections. The first is chapters 1 through 9, the next are chapters 10 through 29, and the last is chapters 30 through 31. The main characteristics of chapters 1 through 9, it's a little bit more continuous. There are themes. All the verses kind of connect with each other. It's one big, long speech of the preacher to his son. And then chapters 10 through 29 are what we would call Proverbs. You know, they're little sayings, and we would call them antithetical sayings, kind of if-then or comparisons. I usually have the word but in the middle. So the righteous are this, but the wicked are that, that kind of thing. And that's the section we're heading into tonight. And when you look at this section, and you look at the verses that you cover in this section, or how you can teach through it, there's a couple different ways you can go through it. But one of the main ways is to say, okay, if it's harder to see a theme, it's harder to see, it's harder to find verses that are right next to each other that all connect. It's not a lot of large sections in these chapters. There are some, but not a whole chapter's worth, typically, in one consecutive verse. So what a lot of people do is they'll take verses that speak about roughly the same thing throughout Proverbs, and they'll link them together and talk about that. And that's kind of what I'm going to be doing a little bit tonight here. Our verses, these four verses connect very well, but I'll be mentioning some verses throughout Proverbs as well. We also need to talk a little bit about the context. So, Proverbs, who is it written to? It's written to Jews. and the Hebrews, and it's typically written to those in an agrarian society. The reason I mention that is because people are dependent on farmers, honest trade, that kind of thing. And what you said about people mattered. And the reason it mattered is because most transactions were done verbally. You didn't have a what we call paper trail. You know, there's no FBI agent going in there, okay, look up the invoices and all this kind of stuff. No. And so what people said about other people meant a great deal, you know. So you had to put a lot more trust in people's words than maybe you do now. So that's kind of the context in the background, right? Our verses, I'm going to read them real quick. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 through 21 says, "He who covers up hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads a bad report is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who holds back his lips has insight. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. But the lips of the righteous feed many, but ignorant fools die for a lack of a heart of wisdom." Lack of a heart of wisdom. So the first point, and this is just verse 18, lying lips conceal anger. Lying lips conceal anger. So a person, this verse kind of just starts off, a person is naturally a liar if they conceal their hatred of another person. You ever been around someone who didn't like you, but they said nice things to your face? And then, as the verse implies, and he who spreads a bad report is a fool, maybe that person who had hatred in his heart, who talked good in front of your face, spread slander, said something false about you. Slander is half-truths, innuendos, distorted facts. And in this verse, it's not just telling slander to one person, it's telling slander to a bunch of different people. That's why in some translation it says, whoever utters. In the LSB it says, he who spreads. And I think that's a good indication of what this is talking about. It's to the crowd. It's to everybody else. And so what I want you to see here is hatred is connected to slander, and slander reveals hatred or anger. And we see this connection in other verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 24 through 26 says, "He who hates it with his lips, but he sets up deceit within himself. When he makes his voice gracious, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covered itself with guile, his evil will be revealed in the assembly." So basically the idea of he's with other people and he will reveal himself by his speech. And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, so earlier in the chapter, says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked covers up violence." Covers up violence. And so why does a person slander? Why does a person slander? Well, they slander because of what is in their heart. What is in their heart? And I just got to bring in the New Testament for this. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says that a man's mouth speaks from the abundance of his heart. If you harbor hatred in your heart, you will either be a grouch or a fool with your words. It either festers or it comes out. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, it talks about the heart of anger, or of a brother who goes to offer an offering and remembers that his brother has something against him, and it gives the imperative to deal immediately with that conflict. The Bible talks a lot about dealing with conflict. and someone who covers up hatred, who doesn't deal with what is in his heart, is fomenting that conflict, whether they speak it out loud or just harbor it in their heart and cause bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32 talks about not slandering among other forms of anger, and says that instead you should forgive one another. So, you know, sometimes offenses cannot go unchallenged without undermining the relationship. Some hurts break relationships, and they need to be addressed. They can't be covered up with nice words. Unless you think that this is not you, how many times have you been hurt by someone, but did not talk to them about it, but instead of forgiving them in your heart, you nurtured bitterness and perhaps let complaints and slander slip out to another person? Sometimes things are best forgiven and not confronted. Earlier in this chapter, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, which is quoting that verse, it says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." I guess the lesson I want you guys to take from this verse is to say, undealt with hatred in the heart will only result in foolishness in your words and bitterness. And they're characteristic of a wicked person, an unrighteous person. Yep. Undealt with hatred in the heart will only result in foolishness in your words and bitterness. And the New Testament, through all those verses I just talked about, agrees with this and adds that the only answer to it is forgiveness and love. Forgiveness and love. So that's point one. Loose lips conceal anger. Point number two, and this is verse 19, loose lips are folly. Loose lips are folly. What's one of the first reactions when a kid gets caught doing something wrong? What do? They try and kind of explain it away, or they'll blame their sibling. I remember doing that as a kid. Yeah. The same is true of someone who's accused of something. When was the last time you were accused of something? What did you do? Did you just sit there and just quietly take it? No, you usually said something back. You usually tried to explain it away. And, you know, it's not just this. In verse 19, when it says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who holds back his lips has insight." So that's just an example of what it would be to not hold back your lips, but to spout. Another example might be asking yourself, are you the one dominating in a conversation? Are you the one speaking the most? Do you speak just to speak? And kind of what the verse is getting at here is that speech is a channel of our heart through which we release our thoughts and choices. If you're sinning in your heart, pouring out more words isn't going to help. Sin is not stopped, as one commentator says, by multiplying words, because sin is a matter of the heart. In Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 through 28, it says, "He who holds back his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of discernment. Even an ignorant fool, when he is keeps silent, is considered wise, but when he closes his lips, he is considered understanding." I love that verse. I just remind myself sometimes when I'm speaking that sometimes the best option is not to speak. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "Don't be hasty with your mouth or impulsive in your heart. to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven, but you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. So it's not even just, in that context, it's talking about oaths to God and just taking yourself seriously, or taking your word seriously before God. But the principle is similar. So the lesson here is this. Take care in the words you speak, because the more you speak without thinking, the more likely you are to sin. The more likely you are to sin. So my question to you is this. Do you take care when you speak? And this is a hard thing. James says in James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the entire body as well. But don't worry, because James also says in James chapter 1, verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of God does not achieve the righteous anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in gentleness receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It is a command in the New Testament, in the book of James, to take care with your words. In that context, it's talking about taking care when you're listening to the word of God. And if you will, if you carefully observe and obey God's word, if you receive the implanted word, Holy Spirit is implanting it on your heart, as you grow in righteousness, gently receiving it, folly will not pour out of you. You will be careful with what you say. You will know the wise and right thing to say. Point number three. And this is verse 20 through 21. The tongue tells the value of the righteous. The tongue tells the value of the righteous. In the verse it says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but ignorant fools die for lack of a heart of wisdom. So in that verse, in verse 20, it says, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. It's choice silver. Now, what's choice silver? It's not just any old, you know, dull silver. It's not, you know, that old silver set in your grandma's house of utensils, like an old dusty fork. No, it's choice silver. It's pure silver. It's unadulterated silver. It's pure. It's valuable. And on the other end, the contrast, very simple, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The heart and the tongue, your speech, are linked here. Not equated, but they reflect one another, as we've been seeing throughout the rest of these verses. They reflect one another. If you are condescending in your speech, you are condescending in your heart. If you're encouraging in your words, you're encouraging in your mind. Notice that there is value placed on the person based on their speech. You are as valuable to others as the words you speak. And what makes one more valuable than the other? What makes a righteous person's words more valuable than the heart of the wicked? See how they're almost equated there? The next verse tells us in verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but ignorant fools die for lack of a heart of wisdom. The word for nourish or feed here is often translated shepherd in other contexts. It's similar to what Jesus said to Peter, feed my flock. Similar. The righteous nourish those around them with their words. I think of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, which says, "Let no unwholesome word come from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the building up of what is needed, so that it will give grace to those who hear it." And why is the righteous person more valuable than the heart of the wicked? Why is their tongue more valuable? People value those of wise, insightful speech because they are useful, not only in practicality. I'm in business, I work in a business, and I can't tell you how good it is when someone is straightforward and truthful and honest and wise in their speech. Sometimes people will not be that way. Sometimes they will lie to your face. Sometimes they will try and hide the truth somewhere else, and they'll distract you. Sometimes they're just not wise. And so a righteous person, if they're wise and discerning in their speech, that's valuable. Not only are they valuable because of the practicality, but they're valuable because of the encouragement. The idea is in that nourishing or shepherding, that they're leading them to refreshing pastures. That's the idea or the picture. That's the idea or the picture. Not just one. It's not just like, oh, you know, the wise person kind of leads one person, is nourishing to one person. No, to the many, to the many. But what about the fool? What about the wicked person? But ignorant fools die for lack of a heart of wisdom, verse 21. You know, these fools, they not only do not speak wisely in building up others, they lack the ability to be nourished by the wise. Doubly bad. Doubly bad. It literally says they lack heart. They lack character. They have nothing in and of themselves which they can share with other people. Nothing in and of themselves which they can nourish and sustain themselves. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 says, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but an ignorant fool of loose lips will be ruined." Will be ruined. Perhaps, and in Proverbs, you know, the fool and the wicked are kind of equated, and the righteous and the wise are equated. Perhaps this person who is a fool, perhaps they have spoken too much, so they can't even hear the wise. And even if they do, they choose not to listen. They choose not to listen. They are willfully ignorant. Maybe because the wise should tell them not to harbor hatred in their heart. So the lesson here is this. Nourish and build up with your words, because that is a reflection of who you are as a person. As a reflection of who you are as a person. And that's just in the verse. If we go to Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 4, that's a command for you as a Christian. Not only is it wise, but it's a command for you as a Christian to build up others with your words, to encourage them with them. So, in summing up, the first lesson, undealt hatred in the heart will only result in foolishness in your words and in bitterness. And the New Testament says the only answer to that hatred and that bitterness and that foolishness in your words is love and forgiveness of the other person. Then the next, in verse 19, is this: take care in the words you speak, because the more you speak without thinking, the more you are likely to sin. And the last is this: nourish and build up with your words, because that is a reflection of who you are as a person. And I also want to encourage you that if you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit is working in you, then you will love and forgive others. You will grow in sanctification. You will slander less and less. You will not want to do that. You will take care in how you speak as you receive the Word of God and the wisdom in it. You will nourish and build up with your words, because that is a reflection of the person who the Holy Spirit is making you into. Any questions?